Hello, everyone, and welcome to another podcast. And today we are going to have a series of three parts, and it's going to be on nurturing linguistic development, teaching language to children through playful learning. And in this episode, we will develop new strategies how to deal with those issues with kids with autism or even kids with regular development. So let's start. So what we're going to talk today is from birth to age 3. This stage lies the groundwork for a child's language journey, and understanding its significance is crucial for parents, caregivers, and educators. So let's talk first about the understanding of early language development. Understanding early language development can show us several ways that the child has tools for their journey. The journey of language development begins right from birth. Infants demonstrate their early language skills through growling, cooing, and crying. As they grow, they start babble, imitate sound, and engage in vocal play. We will explore different stages of early language development, from early communication to the emergence of the first words. But there is something that we need to talk about. The most important thing is the role of a caregiver in the child interactions. Now, that is an issue that as a therapist for the last 20 plus years, I've been dealing with for many times with new parents that have a child with special needs and their child is not verbal. The question is, how do we address the child? Because what we do is we go back to the time where we were kids or we were infants. We ask our mother or father, tell me, how did you teach us language? What did you do with us when we were in this time? And what they would tell you is that they would have just used a one word language and say to you, say it back to us. They will hold a car and say, say car. Say car. What is this? Say car. Now, that is counterproductive to teaching a kid who is nonverbal or even a child who has regular development skills. It is not good for him or her, that kind of a strategy. So we need to remember that one of the most significant influence on a child's language development is their interaction with the caregiver. So when we are working with the child, when we are playing with the child, we should remember that this is not therapy, this is playing with another person. And our job is to teach the child language, not to impose language. There are two different things. During these early years, children's brains are highly receptive to language input, making caregiver talk and engagement crucial. Let's discuss the importance of responsive and nurturing caregiver-child interaction, which provide children with linguistic input they need to build a strong foundation for language. So as we gave the example of not just to tell the child, say this word, repeat what I'm saying to you, because A, they might not understand you. B, they might repeat, and then you are thinking that the child is repeating and he knows what you're talking about, and they don't. So what should we do? We should do it naturally. So if I have a car in my hand, I say, car. And the child takes the car and say, Jacob took the car. So the child knows he's Jacob, or if he doesn't, we are actually helping him labeling himself as Jacob. And we continue from there to a point where the child learns in one word what you're talking to him about. So the power of language exposure, or exposure to language-rich environment, is essential for children's language development. Whether it's hearing conversation, being read to, or engaging in meaningful interaction, children benefit from being immersed in language. For example, let's say that the parents are talking and the child is listening, or you are playing next to your child and saying, the dog is eating breakfast, the dog is jumping, the dog is cute, or hello doggy, and you're waving to him. So the child is actually sees that, while might not imitating, they do understand what you're doing. They imitating after. There are kids, for example, that come to my clinic that we can work for 2 hours, the child will not do anything, will not imitate. But then we'll go home and imitate and we'll do everything. Why is that? Is the child slow? Is the child has a problem with coding? No, the child probably needed to build his own world and to create his own situation where they know I'm safe in this room to repeat what I saw outside. Outside of judgment from my parents, outside of judgment from my therapist, it's me in front of a task. We should remember that brain development and language development has a strong connection. Because if a child has any kind of mental health issues or mental cognitive issue, we need to rethink our strategy and we need to find the right way to work with the child. Understanding the connection between brain development and language acquisition is key to grasping why early language learning is so rapid. The brain undergoing significant change with different areas specialized in language processing. There is something in your brain that it calls a neuron. As much as you repeat yourself and repeat the task and repeat the word, the neuron has a little layer of myelin and it gets stronger and stronger. You want to get to a point where that is getting really strong, the myelin is getting stronger, so that neuron is getting really strong and fires electric to the nerve system and everything else to make sure that every time that the child hears the word stop, the brain knows right away where it's stored, where is the neuron, everything, and the brain knows what to do. So how does it work, the early language comprehension and expression? While early language development began with comprehension, children eventually progress to express themselves verbally. So what are the steps? First, think about this. You take your child to the supermarket. In the supermarket, you point on milk and say, milk. The child is pointing on milk the next time, and you say, milk. And then the child might say, meh, because he's just starting to make sound. And we don't say, well, good job, you said milk, good job, yay, high five. No, what we are going to do is we are going to say milk, only one word. And it's not on purpose, we're not mean to the child or anything else. What we are doing is we are encouraging the creation of the neuron in his brain to make sure that the word milk, the object milk, will collide and will be the same thing. So next time that we go to the supermarket, he will be able to say milk. So when we want to increase the language, we should avoid three things. One, we already spoke about. Don't use large spiels, like large conversation about one thing. For example, I have an iPad. Yes, this is an iPad. This is a gray iPad. This is a big iPad. This is an iPad. Do you want the iPad? We would like an iPad. Say I want an iPad. This conversation is useless. Okay? Don't do it. Do this. iPad. The child is reaching. You put the iPad. That's it. Then you say, iPad. Reach again. But then, he's reaching his hand. You ignore it. You say, you don't say anything. You just hold it. And he might, it depends where he is in the language. He might say, pa, 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 pa. Because P is very, that sound is very easy. You know it's pad. You're making the connection for him. You say, iPad. And give it to the child. That is how you create language. Another thing that you need to remember, baby talk does not promote language. Saying to a child, oh, you're so cute, what are you doing? You are the person who understands the language. Okay? So don't do that. It doesn't make sense for her, for the child to hear someone babbles like him. The child doesn't understand the language. You're teaching him the language. Think about this. If you go to a course about learning English, you don't speak English and you're going to a course about English, or Vietnamese, Chinese, whatever, and you start mumbling on the first day, and your teacher starts mumbles and imitating you, how would you feel? Would you learn better Chinese, better English like that? No. You would not understand it. So that is why when we teach language to our child, we don't use that. Those are the things that we really need to stop. So a child is not a university student. I know, shocking. I was shocked the first time I heard about it. No, I wasn't. The role of play in language development, especially natural language, is a powerful facilitator of language development. It provides them with opportunities to experiment with sounds, words, and sentences in a relaxed and enjoyable setting. So let's take, for example, the child that was here for 2 hours in the clinic, then didn't talk, didn't imitate, nothing, but then went home, start imitating. Great. They needed that time. Maybe there are kids that we teach them so much during 2 hours. We work with them with 2 hours. We play with them. They don't get what we do because we don't tell them, okay, now we're teaching you ABC. Now we're teaching you math. Now we're teaching you how to request things. They don't know. So, but then it's in your head, wow, you know what? I've done this with Dr. Amir Haimov, and now I like it. I want to try it. So they will take item that they have at home, and they will do it by themselves. That is imitation. That's great. They might even try to take you, so you will do that with them. You will help them with the creating the game. So, how do we foster vocabulary development in kids? This is the most important part. Because what we are talking about is to put aside the spiel, the sentences, the full story that we tell a child because we want to teach one word. One word. We use only one word. So, you might say to yourself, okay, but the child is 3 or 4. They're supposed to know 2,000 words, and they know 2 words. How do we know it? Well, a robust vocabulary is essential for effective communication. During the early years, children have a remarkable capacity to learn new words and concepts. So what we do, we encourage play. We encourage three kinds of play. The first one is natural play. We just leave them alone, and what they do, we tell them what they do. So we, like a football on TV, we are saying, now the child is taking, now Jacob is picking up the toy, now he put it on the ground, now he goes next to the goal, and that's it, he played with the ball. That's it. Like, you tell him the sentence. You use words, I know this is several words, but you are telling every action. So while a child is taking something and jumping, you're saying, the bunny jump, bunny jump, bunny jump. So in his brain, and again, myelin, neurons, everything is connected, and he connects those that action to bunny hop. The second way to play is next to your child. So while your child is building a tower, you are building a tower with your own blocks, and you're saying what you're doing. Take, put, push, tower fell. Now, your child might look at you. The child might be interested in what you're doing. So that is something that you need to see. Where is your child and what you can do? The third one is you are just in the room seeing. If you play with something, would your child join you? And if your child would be able to use language to encourage you to play with him. What do I mean? Let's say that you're holding an iPad and the child wants the iPad. So if he's nonverbal, the child will just try to grab it from you. So you can do it two ways. One, you can hold it like this, look at your child and say, open, and teach him the gesture, open. So when you teach your child the gesture open, you play a little bit, and he has to create a small conversation. So let's say that the iPad is in his hand, then you are, after 5 minutes, you tap on his shoulder and say, give me iPad, and then you take it and you play with it, and then he asks for it. Then you put it inside of a box and he can't open it, and then he needs to come to you and say, come. And those are language-based games that you can play. So you need to be creative in the way of your playing with your child, but that is the great way to increase the child language. Now, another way that many parents are using is literacy. So, to teach a child to sit with you and you are reading with your child and your child is following with your finger, with their finger, or if a child is a little bit higher and has a few words, he can repeat the words. So, all of those things are actually increasing the child as an active learner of the language. Also, some kids with autism are nonverbal. So it might be daunting to do those steps because you think to yourself, well, my child is not talking. How can I do that? So before your child developed the ability to express themselves verbally, they often rely on nonverbal communication. They often rely on nonverbal communication like gesture, pointing, or anything else that we don't consider as verbal communication. For example, facial expression and body language, all of those helped you to understand your child better. But those are also the things that your child knows that make a reaction. And your child will use that reaction to create the language. So, while language development follows a general pattern, some children may experience delay or difficulties. It is essential for parents and caregivers to recognize potential concern and seek early intervention. For example, language pathologists, your pediatrician, all of those people are the professionals that you need to go to them to make sure that you are receiving the right help for your child. Understanding early language development is fundamental to laying a groundwork for a child's future language skills. It is during these formative years that the child brain is most receptive to language input and experience, making it an optimal time for language learning. By providing a language-rich environment, engaging in meaningful interaction, and embracing playful learning, parents and caregivers can support and nurture a child's linguistic journey. Join us next time as we explore the role of play in language development and discover how fun and creative can be a powerful tool in your arsenal. Thank you once again for tuning in, and as usual, please leave comments or send me through my website, Autism Center for Kids, and I would love to